The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome you back. Great to have you here for the second half of the show. We'll continue to remember Phyllis Fumalga with some more clips and your tributes. But right now, we always enjoy chatting with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. Of course, a lot of news out there. We will have our interview we did yesterday tomorrow with Kirby Smart. He was heading off to, I believe it was Savannah. He's on the circuit right now. And we'll check in with Mike Griffith about that beat and what's happening with the Dogs. Good afternoon, Griff. Here's some news about Georgia, Florida, once again on the horizon. Good afternoon, and tell us about it.
Yeah, so the Jacksonville mayor is on his way out of office, Lenny Curry, and he's talking all the way out the door. I give Jacksonville credit, Paul. They've made a lot of money. A lot of money off of this game for decades, and all you got to look at is how good their hospitals are and their schools, and just what a wonderful area Northeast Florida is. They've done a tremendous job making a ton of money off of Georgia in this game, and it looks like they're going to continue to pay to do that. Finding out that Lenny Curry, he kind of first broke the news and said, hey, it looks like TIAA Bank Field is going to be undergoing renovations in 2026 and 27, which would mean that the Georgia-Florida game might go home and home those years. But what also is happening is that the University of Georgia and Florida are going to have to make a decision on this fifth and sixth year option for 2024 and 2025. They're going to do that after there's a new mayor. There's an election on May 16th, so here's your time frame. New Jacksonville mayor, May 16th. Georgia, Florida will decide between May 16th and June 30th about 2024 and 2025, and it's really smelling like that game is going to stay there in Jacksonville. Of course, this year it's going to be there. It's Florida's designated home game. But a lot of people thought when Kirby Smart went toe-to-toe with Tim Tebow on the SEC Network about the importance and the value of Georgia, everybody thought, well, Kirby's going to get what he wants here. Maybe not.
Okay, well, that's certainly going to be a story we're following. Let's talk about things that are a little more top of mind, and that's the upcoming Dogs. And Kirby, he didn't say much yesterday in relation to the team. He did talk about some of the things that you guys have already talked to him about. But in relation to this season, everybody got – yeah, is it LSU? We had a guest on earlier. I like Alabama. I know I've asked you this question all the time, but now that the dust has settled and the transfers portal has closed, what do you think? You still think it's is there a contender to Georgia in the SEC right now?
Well, I'll tell you, you've been at this a long time, Paul, and so have I. And I know that the odds have come out. Let's face it, we're all aware of the odds and the over-unders. And the over-under for Georgia on win total is 11.5. So you're either going to bet Georgia to have another undefeated regular season, or you're going to bet they're going to lose a game. Now, if you look at their schedule, I don't know which game you'd pick out. I guess Tennessee is probably the closest spread-wise, like 7.5. They're a 7.5-point favorite on the road at Tennessee. But I look at it big picture. I say, my goodness, if you're going to bet Georgia to go undefeated, that would mean that Kirby Smart and Georgia – and your statisticians will come up with this quickly — that would mean they would have had three consecutive undefeated regular seasons. And I don't know if there's a Power 5 team that's done that in the BCS era, that's had three consecutive undefeated regular seasons. That's what Georgia would have to do to win that bet. Now, this season is obviously independent of last season, but there's a reason why teams don't dominate. It's that human nature, right? That complacency. And that's what Kirby's guarding against. Now, he's got some changes. He's got a new offensive coordinator. There'll be a new quarterback. There'll be new offensive tackles, a new tailback, a new tight end. I'm not sure. It just seems to me that somewhere along the way you slip up, right? I mean, sooner or later, maybe a game gets away from you. As talented as they are, I mean, my goodness, just look at how much Alabama slipped up in the last couple of years and how fortunate they were to win other games that they could have easily lost. Sooner or later, you wonder if if Georgia, you know, has some of those moments like Nick Saban's had these last couple of years.
Indeed. Talking to Griff. Griff, I want to ask you about the story that came out the other day and about the White House. And everyone, you know, not everyone, but some people are drawing something into it. It's hard for me to believe that the White House could be so inconsiderate. But I want you to explain why Georgia is not going to the White House.
Well, I mean, it's simple. I mean, it's a timely. It's not timely. I mean, listen, Kirby Smart is at Georgia to win football games, not you know, help anybody win elections or carry out political causes. This is football. This is SEC football, Paul. This is more important than Washington, D.C. My goodness. The timing of it, right? So you go back and you look at some other teams and how quickly. They went in January. Clemson goes in. LSU goes in. Kirby's not going to cancel recruits' visits and cancel individual workouts so that a team that's missing 35 guys that won the, you know, that helped win these last two, they're all gone. They're in the NFL. They're not going to break from minicamp. Kenny McIntosh isn't going to call Pete Carroll and say, hey, coach, can I fly across the country to the White House? He's trying to make a team up there and win snaps. So Kirby's here to win titles. That's what he's here for. He's not here to play politics. He doesn't care. If this was in January, then maybe it'd be a different story if it was more timely. But right now, all these guys are gone. And Georgia's got a lot of work ahead of it. We just talked about it. They're trying to go undefeated for three regular seasons in a row. They're trying to win three national titles in a row. What, 1936-37 Minnesota? And you want them to take two or three days out of their schedule so they can, you know, eat ice cream on the airplane. And
hey, Griff, Griff, slow down, okay? We're not talking about a journey around the world. You get on a plane at 9 o'clock in the morning. You fly to Washington, and you're probably back by 5 or 6. Are you saying a one day trip is too much for a? I say it's a once in a lifetime experience. I mean, Georgia may keep winning, so. But it is, I mean, it is something. I've told this story before. That I was in the White House a couple weeks after Alabama had visited, and there was a picture of Nick Saban and Barack Obama up right outside the Oval Office. I mean, these are great. These are memories that stay with you a long time.
I think championship game memories stay with players and coaches longer. And I think that Kirby's
I don't think not going or not going to the White House is going to really affect that, is it?
I don't think it's going to have any. I'll say this, and I've told you this before. You've interviewed Kirby Smart plenty of times, and it's really simple. Does it help him win another championship? Yes or no? And the answer is no. If this was more timely, if this had happened in like when the other teams visited, when Clemson went, when LSU went in January, then that's fine. But you can't expect Kirby Smart to turn his program upside down in one of the most important months of the season. Paul, there's a reason why Kirby Smart has had more players drafted in 2 years than any program in history, and why Georgia is the only program in history to win back-to-back titles in the 4-team playoff era. There's a reason for that, and it's not because Kirby takes 2 or 3 days off for kicks and giggles. It's because he's focused, and he does not leave any stone unturned. I'm surprised he made time to interview with you. He must not have had a recruit on the line. If you guys got him to sit down captive, it must have been a non-contact period for recruiting or something.
Well, he was. We were in Birmingham with him, so he was able to take a minute. Thanks, Griff. Appreciate it, Mike. Griff, we'll have that interview tomorrow. It's really pretty humorous. It's not only with Kirby Smart. We did an interview with Charles Barkley and Kirby Smart at the same time. Griff, I want to quickly go to a caller here because this lady does not have much time, and I want to make sure she gets on. I had an opportunity to talk to her earlier today. This is Phyllis from Mulga's niece. Jen, are you there?
I'm here. This is Jennifer.
Well, yeah, Jen, this is Paul. I just wanted to I appreciate your time today. I called you when I heard the news about your aunt, and since I talked to you, I've also able to talk to Chris. But I did want to give you an opportunity to come on. I know you have reached out to many, many fans on social media, but I know you're busy with your career, but I have lost track of the number of articles that have appeared from publications near and far, from Awful Announcing to Sports Illustrated to AL.com to countless others commemorating and remembering your aunt. I'll be quiet because I know you don't have a lot of time, but I just want to make sure you were aware of that.
Yes, I just wanted to take a moment to say that she was a very in life that, and a lot of people that she touched. I just want to say that God was first in her life, as well as her family and her friends. And she's a very special person, and we were very fortunate to be in her life and her in ours. And I know that she even helped me along the way when I had breast cancer in 2019. She was a fiery soul that has instilled so many great things in me. And I remember as a little girl growing up and going to her house and just being, close family. So I just wanted to share that for those, because I know she was a fiery personality on the show and really got people going. And that was what was really great about her. But at the same time, she's the same person that would give her shirt literally off of her back, her last stitch of clothing, to someone. So I just wanted to share that, because I know everybody's heard the really, personality that personifies, but man, she was an angel on earth. And that's just what I wanted to share. And just my thoughts and prayers are to her son, Chris, and everyone in the family that's, going to be going through a hard time and trying to keep her memory alive. So that's just all I wanted to share today. And I really appreciate everyone and all the callers and everyone that she actually touched. So thank you.
Jennifer, thank you for making time. I know you're in the middle of a lot, so we really appreciate it. Jennifer, who is Phyllis's niece, we will continue our remembrance of her with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back, and we continue to remember Phyllis from Mulga. We'll try to tomorrow do a montage of some of her greatest hits. But this was one that you may have heard. She was upset. Jim Harbaugh, I think, accused Nick Saban of breaking rules, and Phyllis did not take kindly to it. Phyllis!
Hey,
is up
Paul,
next.
How you doing?
Listen,
I'm pissed at Hairball. I'm really mad at him. He's the audacity that man's got. Look, he has a good coaching job. He makes millions a year. He don't lead the other coaches
alone.
He makes
$9 million. I think he makes $9 million a year.
You know, lucky freaking doll. I don't really care about that. I tell you what I care about is him keeping his nose out of the University of Alabama and keeping his nose away from you. You've done nothing to the man but speak the truth. And everything you say about him has been proven. He's entitled, he thinks. He's uppity. He thinks he's better than everybody else. Hairball, you ain't better than nobody. I'm surprised you even got the coaching job. Your ego goes, hundreds of feet up in the air. And, God, is anybody going to bring you down? You'd probably pop before you hit the ground. You'd be nothing but a big, fat balloon because that's all you're full of is hot air. And don't you be after Paul, and don't you dare come down on the University of Alabama. I will eat your ass for lunch, and I can make that a promise. Are you there?
I am. I'm listening to every word and nodding my head.
I'm sorry. It's just I got so mad at him a while ago. I just, especially
well,
seeing the newspaper.
I mean, Phyllis, let me say this. I mean, he didn't physically assault me. He just took a shot at me in a tweet, okay?
I don't care. It was wrong of him to do that. Very wrong of him to do that. And then assuming that we're cheating and other teams are cheating and this and that. They haven't won a national championship in a while. How do we know they're nothing but a bunch of cheaters?
Well,
how
I mean,
do we
listen.
Know that
you know, they took a player. They took a player out of Georgia this year that there were a lot of raised eyebrows. Let's put it that way.
Well, I would not doubt that at all. And he's probably trying to sweep him under the rug by throwing out things at Saban and other coaches around here. He's out of his freaking mind. Now, Hairball, get on your own field, and you leave everybody else's field alone. They got enough to handle except for your butt. I'll be on your butt. Don't you come down here.
Man, would I love to see you and Jim Harbaugh meet.
I would. Oh, no problem. No problem. You just name the place and you name the area. I'd love to speak my mind to him.
You know what I would like even more. You know what I would
like
even
when he's looking so uppity and like he's so much better than other people.
Well, you know, Phyllis, you just nailed it. Michigan people think they are better than everyone else.
Well, I've got news for them. You're not Michigan. You're not one iota better than anybody else in the country, especially Alabama. So keep your mouth shut, and you better tone that coach down you got, because I'm going to tell you something. They're going to find him. They're going to find him and see his true colors, and when they do, Katie bar the freaking door. Row, Tide, row.
Yeah, kind of like they did at Stanford and San Francisco and pretty much everywhere else he's ever been. Thank you, Phyllis. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Jim is next.
Paul. It touches me to hear Phyllis. God. I can't help but cry. She's giving a clinic on what people should do. She's feisty and fiery, and so few people will speak out like she does and did. And that's what I admired her so much about her. I can't even. I just was so touched by it. Jennifer, her daughter, her niece, talking so poignantly about her. And Phyllis got me mad at me one time because I was speaking out myself about some woman from Ohio, and Anna from Ohio, and she was calling my you-know-what, and I spoke out, and Phyllis didn't like it. And I guess I got a little irritated at Phyllis, but Phyllis, Margaret from Margaret, is giving you a clinic, ladies and gentlemen, on what most of you are afraid to do. Speak out. Speak your mind. Speak it when you need to. Don't wait. You can't wait. It's too late when you wait. Phyllis knew that. Phyllis had all kind of heart. She was a wonderful, I love Phyllis. And to hear her again, I can't hardly take it, Paul. I mean, it just touches me, man. It touches me. It really does. Golly.
Well, Jim,
are you there?
I appreciate you saying that. And I was just trying to get out
of
your way.
It's true, Paul. It's true. And you know it. You used to do a lot of what she's doing. She's giving a clinic on what most people in this country will not do anymore. Scared of losing a job, scared of whatever. She had no fear, like you said earlier. She had no fear, and she spoke what she felt was the pure truth, and it needed to be spoken. And I mean, You got to admire that lady. She taught us. She taught me. The biggest honor I ever got on this show was the first couple of months when Phyllis started speaking out about me in such a complimentary way, and it really, really helped me. It supported me. To know she was supporting me, that meant the world to me, Paul. It really did.
Jim, thank you for sharing that. I'm so glad you called.
Thank you.
Patrick is up next.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. Hey, man, I'm going to let you know I'm offended that you would ask the question why Georgia didn't visit the White House. I'm just kidding.
I'm glad you were.
That caller who called you about what you said, like, that is the problem we have with society, is everybody gets offended by something. Where was he at when the previous president was getting bashed? Where was he at when Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich all refused? You don't hear anything about that, right? See, and that's why, and I'm not a Georgia fan, but right there is why Kirby Smart has a winning program. You know what? He doesn't care what anybody else says. He doesn't give participation trophies out. It's all about results. If people would stop getting their feelings hurt about stuff that don't matter, we wouldn't be in some of the situation we are in this world today. So you have a good day, man.
Thank you. Yeah, and as I was listening to Griff talk about Kirby Smart, I couldn't help but remember an interview I did a number of years ago with Nick Saban. We were sitting in his office in Tuscaloosa. I was spending the whole day there, so it wasn't like one of these quick hit and drive interviews that you do on a program. And I said, let me go back to 2000, and I believe it was 2005, maybe six, one of those years, the president of the United States was down in Miami and wanted to have dinner with you at Joe Stone Crab. It's one of the most famous restaurants in Miami, and Saban turned him down. George W. Bush he had asked Saban and I think Dan Marino, and I asked Saban about it. He said, "Listen, I said you didn't have a game. It was like August 4th. I checked the date." He said, "No, I didn't have a game. I had something more important. It was the first weekend of first week of training camp, and I didn't mean any disrespect. I just didn't have time." And I told the White House that, and I heard the same thing from Griff a minute ago. It was very similar. We'll take a short break. Well, we're remembering Phyllis today on this Thursday afternoon, and your phone calls are welcome right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we're back. William from Maryville is up next. William?
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you on this kind of somber day for the Feinbaum Show?
We're okay, William. Thank you.
Well, you know, and I'm calling to respond to Dustin because I'm, for once, going to take up for Jim. You know, because it's a tribute to Voltaire, the whole notion that, while I may disagree with you, I'll fight to the death for your right to say it. Dustin has no right to try to censor Jim and no right to, you know, he has a right to say it. And I'll fight for his right to say it. But you know, I think a hallmark of your show is a lack of censorship as long as things fall within, you know, as you say, the network guidelines. And, you know, for Dustin to make that call, again, I disagree with it. He has a right to say it, but it is of no concern to me, or of no consequence is probably better.
Yeah,
for
I think you just have to, I mean, there. What Jim did the other day was certainly, I thought, noteworthy. And quite frankly, he asked me.
Well, it was heartfelt.
Yeah. And I mean, he said, are you okay with this? I said, sure, yes, absolutely.
Right. And he did. He asked to pray. You said it was appropriate. And Dustin has no right to censor it. He can suggest we censor it, but I don't think censorship of the First Amendment, outside the bounds of decorum and civility is a particularly good idea, or inside the bounds of decorum and
totally
civility.
Agree.
You know, and part of the greatness of your show is people do have disparate opinions, and to the most part can disagree with a level of civility.
Yeah. But people talk about prayer all the time on this show in a troubling situation, which we have a lot of, as you know, and I know you're involved in some of them as the official of counsel for the Feinbaum Network.
Well, you're right. Well, and, you know, the other thing I think about is, you know, Thomas Jefferson, nobody ever knew what his religious beliefs were. And he wrote a letter to a lady one day I read years ago, which said something like, I prefer to keep my religious beliefs to myself, but I can tell by the way that you lead your life that whatever you believe in holds you in good stead. And, you know, some people pray out loud, some people pray to themselves, and that's their right. And I don't think anybody on this show they certainly can say it. I'll fight to the death for their right to say it. But, you know, censorship is not something that the Paul Feinbaum Show needs.
Well, it's always been something that has bothered me a great deal. And when you work for a company, and I've worked for quite a few, you're at their pleasure. But I've always been very concerned when anyone tries to tell anyone else what to say. I had somebody interview me today earlier, William, about Phyllis, and they said, did you ever try to tell her, how to handle herself? I said, absolutely not. I that's what makes our callers who they are. We would never tell somebody what to say. And if they go over the line, then that's part of the system, but it's not something that we're saying in the dark shadows.
Well, and the system is in place for profanity and other things that are inappropriate not to go on the air, and we all understand that, and that's a good system. But you know, you're right, and Jim was a heartfelt moment for Jim, and he has every right to do that within the confines of the permission that you gave him.
I'm very glad to hear you say that, because I was concerned. I happen to know the guy that called and disagreed with him, but again, that's his right too. Hey, thank you, William.
Yes, sir, Paul. Take care.
You bet. Fred is up next in Texas. Hello, Fred.
Paul, my brother from another mother. I am glad to be speaking to you today, but I'm sorry to be speaking to you under these circumstances with the passing of Miss Phyllis. I got to know her on a personal note thanks to one of our good friends, old Rich from Atlanta, and he hooked me up with her. And I tell you what, Paul, every time I spoke with her, and this is without exception, every time we would hang out, we talk about many things. We talk about football. We talk about at the time Mr. Don and his health at the time. God bless his soul. And every time we get ready to hang up, she'd say, now, Fred, I want you to know something. What's that, Miss Phyllis? I love you. And she loved everybody. That made her so special. And I think that sometimes if people only heard some of the sound clips, they may not have gotten a full picture of who she really was. And I think that's true, Paul. We've talked about this before, about the image sometimes that people try to cast on the show and on the South in many instances. And yet when we get together, and I'm thinking about being together, for example, down at Media Day, and it just reminds me, especially with her loss, and it's so painful, of a quote by Charles Schulz from Peanuts fame. And you probably know it, Paul, but I'll I'll go ahead and say it. And he wrote, why can't we get all the people together in the world that we really like and then just stay together? I guess that wouldn't work. Someone would leave. Someone always leaves. Then we would have to say goodbye. I hate goodbyes. I know what I need. I need more hellos. And, Paul, the good news is that when we do say hello to Miss Phyllis one day in the afterlife, we can be sure she's going to give us a big hug. She's going to say, roll tide. She's going to say, I love you. And Miss Phyllis and her son Chris and all their family, we love you. Miss Phyllis, that's why you were a great American. And Paul Feinbaum, you remain a great American as always. I love you all, Feinbaum family. Have a good one, Paul.
Thank you very much. We'll take a short break. Much more to come. And your remembrances on Phyllis and any other subject for that matter when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We continue with Rob in Texas. Good afternoon, Rob.
Yes, thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
We might be witnessing the end of an announcing era tonight if Phoenix loses to the Nuggets. Al McCoy, who's been the play-by-play announcer for the Phoenix Suns for 51 years. He's the longest tenured announcer. I grew up in Phoenix and heard him for 20 years before I moved to Texas, and he's one of a kind and just a great gentleman. He won the Kurt Gowdy Award back in 2007, the Hall of Fame. And so, you know, this is his last year, so... Yeah, unless the Suns advance, this might be, you know, he's only doing home games now. He's 90 years old.
I didn't realize he was 90 years old. Oh, my goodness. What is there about broadcasting that allows him, Bob Sterling, the Yankees broadcaster, is in his late 80s, Vince Scully went to 90, maybe past 90, I think. That is so interesting. I mean, there's no other profession you can do that.
You know, it became a part of him. He loved it, and when they honored him and they put him up in the Ring of Honor in the Coliseum there, you know, he was just so touched, and they gave him a jersey, I guess 51. I don't know if they retired that jersey and it hangs up there, but you know, there's something to be said for loving your job and showing up day after day, year after year, and just enjoying the ride. And he was really good, and he had some great, you know, sayings that he would say back when I was growing up. Paul Westfall, you know, was there with Walter Davis, and he always called Walter Davis Sweet D.
Oh, yeah.
Or a hoop-de-doo for two, or whenever, you know, when the three-point shot came in, he likened back to his Iowa days when he called it like a home run shot. So he'd go back to his Iowa days when he would read magazines of Captain Marvel or whatever, and so that's why he says Shazam every time they hit a three-point shot. So I'm going to turn down the volume on my TV and watch it on ESPN, but I'm going to tune into the Arizona Sports Network and just listen to maybe his last broadcast tonight.
Well, that's interesting, because we all – I was where I grew up a couple of weeks ago, and somebody asked me, do you remember so-and-so? And I said, of course. I mean, we all – you know, at some point start listening to sports, and you know, it's not really often anymore, but it used to be radio. And then it moved to television, and now it's I don't know what it is anymore, but it is it becomes a big part of you. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was not aware of that, and that is a very Rob, thank you. That's absolutely great. You be well. You take care of yourself. Robert is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, yes, sir. I was listening yesterday. I make some trips back and forth to Texas from North Carolina in the off season. I coach high school football, and the comparison with you know, he brung out the preseason deal and had Georgia number one, and of course had Alabama in the top. And you know, I don't never bet against Alabama, but where did it change to where it's not even a question of Alabama beating Georgia? I'm not an Alabama fan. I follow the ACC, and I'm a Dolphins fan, so of course I don't care for Nick Saban because he couldn't do it for the Dolphins. But you know, where did it get to the point where they don't have a quarterback? You know, like
yeah,
I know the
you, you,
I know
you
how
help
they,
me with that because you
I
coach.
Know how it works.
You're a coach, and I don't know how that happened. And you know, some have explained, well, it happened because of this. Bryce was there, and they tried to get, they tried to get Drake Mays. I think they had a commitment from Drake, and certainly you've seen him play. And then he backed out and went to UNC, and then they tried to get him again in the portal. But there really isn't much excuse how you can't have a quarterback when you have four guys on scholarship. One is a five star. There may be two five stars, and you're at the University of Alabama. I agree with you.
Yeah, I wish Drake May would have went, because the high school I was at year before last, our quarterback is at North Carolina now, and it sure kicked him down on the depth chart. And you see how kids come in, and you're sitting here thinking like, why is it not happening for Alabama no more? You know, like, where's it at? Because Georgia gets everybody, and you know these other teams.
You tell us. You're in the middle of it. You're a high school coach. What do you sense happening out there?
I don't really understand how that doesn't happen, because like if you look at the North Carolina deal, they've got two or three freshmen that came in that's like pushed a quarterback that won a state championship with us down in the depth chart. So it's like, that's just talking about two or three quarterbacks out of a nationwide pool that we're talking about of high school players. And they recruit freshmen every year. It's like, all of a sudden now we don't have a quarterback. Was this being talked 2 or 3 years ago that 3 years from now we won't have a quarterback? You know, I don't really understand where the recruiting process is faltered at Alabama.
I think you can understand this. They brought in one of those guys they thought was a can't miss, and then another, and he's still early on. He didn't win the job in spring. That doesn't mean he won't come back. And then another, they brought another guy in this year they were pretty confident of. But I think, I don't understand it because I don't evaluate quarterbacks, but I'm particularly curious the jump from high school to college and why it's so challenging to so many people.
You know, I think it's got to be the quick pace of the game. Defense is being stronger. Four guys is 4 and 5 years older. The playbook's probably deeper. I would have to say it's a lot more to take in from a high school quarterback to a starting as a true freshman, I would say. That's my take. I wasn't a quarterback in college myself, but if I had to guess, I would say it's because of that kind of stuff. Defenses are quicker, they're faster, they read quarterbacks better. I'm sure it is hard as a quarterback coming in.
I'm really glad to hear from you, Robert. You take care of yourself, and give us a call again as you're traveling around. Thank you. Let's check out Steve, who's in Tennessee. Hello, Steve.
Thank you, Paul. It's a great show.
Thank you very much.
The National Weather Service just got through naming 2023 hurricanes. T is for Tammy.
Oh my goodness, that's scary. I hope we don't get to the T's.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I'm pretty – one year, I don't think – this year wasn't a bad hurricane year, I think, overall. But we had one year, I think we went through the whole system, the whole alphabet.
That's right. We had a good year last year.
Thank goodness. Man,
hope the Vols do well.
Hey, thank you. Really good. Really nice of you to call. You continue. Let's talk to Craig next in Oregon. Hey, Craig.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, I was just calling in because I heard the lawyer beating up on Logan a little bit there. And, you know, I don't think Logan was necessarily calling for censorship, though it sounded more like maybe he was calling out Jim for the way he uses your show to prove his Christianity to everyone. You know, I was also rolling my eyes as Jim rambled on to his Heavenly Father rant the other day. And, you know, though Logan might be agnostic or atheist or whatever, you know, he still acts more Christian than Jim.
Well, Craig, I will take responsibility. He asked me, he said, is it okay with you? And I said, yes. That was my only issue with Logan, that I was really the one to blame. But you know, Jim,
and
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you can't hold that. I mean, that's just it. No, nobody's calling for censorship. It's your show, Paul. You're going to allow what you're going to allow, and that's fine. But it just seems that Jim tries to get on this a whole lot on your show about, you know, how he's got to prove that he's the biggest, baddest Christian out there. And he's just, he just has something that he has to prove to everybody. And, you know, it's, yeah, kind of entertaining, but it's kind of nauseating at the same time.
I hear you. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We have another hour to go. We'll be happy to talk to you if you'd like to call in with anything on your mind that you want at 855-242-7285. Remember, tomorrow we'll have Kirby Smart, Charles Barkley, a few interviews that we picked up yesterday. We'll also continue to remember Phyllis with some more cuts. So we are open for business for one more hour on a Thursday afternoon.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.